Good morning. It's Drive Time, a show about anything automotive. Co-hosted by automotive industry veterans Tom Chatter, Desmond Creighton, and Ken Freund. Tom's a popular speaker, consultant, trainer, and writer for the automotive industry. He's owned a chain of award-winning transmission shops and is the recipient of the industry's Lifetime Achievement Award. Desmond has over 30 years as a master technician, and he's the owner of Prescott Valley Transmissions, serving the Quad Cities area for 14 years. Ken's career spans four decades as a vehicle tester, master technician, technical writer, and more. So, sit back and relax as we talk about anything automotive. It's Drive Time.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
Good morning and welcome to the only automotive talk show in the Quad Cities area. I'm Tom Chatter, and joining me in the studio, as always, are my sidekicks Desmond Creighton of Prescott Valley Transmissions and our resident automotive and motorcycle guru, Ken Freund. How are you guys today?
Doing well.
Doing great.
We're also introducing a new co-host and sponsor this week, John Lunas from over at AutoWorks Service and Repair in Prescott Valley. John, I can't tell you how excited I am for you to join the show.
Good morning. I'm excited, too. This is going to be fun. This is something I've wanted to do for a long, long time.
Well, and now's your chance, and you're going to be a real asset to the show, I'm sure. Folks, you know, our shows are pre-recorded, so we don't take live calls, but you can always send in your questions and make comments on the website at drivetimeaz.com. That's drivetimeaz.com. And here's a news alert. Against the advice of my cohorts, I'm going to give you my cell phone, and I'm going to tell you what prompted that is I had a great call yesterday with a fellow by the name of Jack Rizzo, and he got in touch with me through the radio station, and we talked, and Jack is a fascinating guy. In fact, he listened to the very first broadcast of this radio station, which back then was called KIHX, Kix Mix. Their slogan was, I get my kicks on 106, because it was a 106.3. And that broadcast happened on September 1st, 1985. And Jack's been a listener that long. He is a fan of our show, which, of course, brings goosebumps on me. But, Jack, thanks to your call, I'm going to take a risk here. I'm going to give you guys my cell phone. And don't abuse me, but you can call in, and if you'd rather call than email in your questions, give me a call. Leave a message if I don't answer. That phone number is 480-773-3131. And, you know, you guys told me not to do that, but I figure if Jesse Waters can give his cell phone on Fox Nationwide, I can do it here with a little local show. What do you think?
What hours would you prefer people call you?
I'm glad
like
you
2
asked.
2 a.m.
Yeah, between 7 and 7. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. would be just great. Also, if you do, I'll even say this for call-ins, guys. If you have a question and we use it on the air, we're going to go ahead and send you a $225 gift card because we used that. And also, you can nominate a song, your favorite car or motorcycle song. You can nominate that each week and give us a funny or a sentimental reason why you happen to like that song. And if we play your song during that show, you're going to also win a $225 gift card package. One other housekeeping matter was last week we had a guest on, Angela Smith, with Comparian Insurance here in Prescott. Comparian, it's a subsidiary of Liberty Mutual, and they allow you to shop and stuff. But I listened back to the show, guys, and we never told anyone how to get a hold of Angela. How unfair is that?
That's terrible.
She poured her heart and soul into the show last week. So, folks, here's Angela's number. It's 928-227-9014. That's 928-227-9014. And press 1. Even though it says you want to get a quote, that'll take you straight through to her. One more item coming up in October. In fact, Monday, October 2nd, I'm going to be conducting an AARP driver safety course here. It's going to be the first one in years here in Prescott. It's going to be held over at the Better Business Bureau offices at 213 Grove Avenue. And it's Going to be from 8:30 to 12:30 again on Monday, October 2nd. If you'd like to register, here's the phone number, 623-776-5697. That's 623-776-5697. Of course, you can go to the AARP website, and they'll have the driver safety courses there, so you can find it. And I know it's very limited seating, so you might want to get your reservation in. And I think that's all the housekeeping, guys. Now Absolutely. We need to remind everyone about our great sponsors. So, and I do think it's great that we have sponsors that we can endorse and not just promote. Like on most shows, you know, they just play their advertisements, and, you know, it's because they're paying to be on. We endorse our sponsors, don't we, guys?
Absolutely.
So Prescott Tire Pros, they're everybody's hometown favorite for tires and auto service. Five-star cars, their award-winning, friendly, small-town dealer with internet selection and pricing. They've won the Best Dealer in Prescott Valley Award 4 years running, and that's a voted-on award. And we have Third Shot Coffee and SIE over in Gateway Mall. And then you can always get juiced up over at Tropical Smoothie Cafe in Prescott Valley. They're right by the hospital. And our newest, I can't say and best because that wouldn't be fair, John.
I don't know about that.
Our newest sponsor and co-host, John Lonis at Auto Works Service and Repair. Their motto, I know when I say this, you're all going to go, oh, that company. You won't find jerks at Auto Works.
Yep. That's something that the station put together for me a long time ago, and that's kind of our jingle on all the ads that you hear with Auto Works and my dog Whiskey and the newest one, Roxy. So you won't find jerks at Auto Works.
Yeah, tell us, John, who came up with that? You said they came up with it here at the station. You know who did it?
It was actually one of my customers. When I purchased Auto Works back in 2007, there was a customer, one of my new customers. Of course, it was new to me because it was my new business. They really appreciated the way that I took care of them, and they're the ones that came up with the slogan telling me, you know, everybody, all these other shops, there's a bunch of jerks. They wouldn't take care of me. They just want to overcharge me. They tell me to go away and this and that. And back in the day, there used to be a radio sales lady, Jean Lupa. Everybody out here knows Jean Lupa. And we sat down one day, and I told her that story, and she says, you know what? Why don't I get some of the girls in the office, and we'll sing that jingle. And that's been a 15-year jingle that I've had on the air from Jean Lupa and Lexi and all the old girls that used to work here.
Or so no matter
the girls
that
used to work here.
No matter what I say, I can't get you to change that jingle, huh?
Nope. It's burned in everybody's mind and everywhere else. It's on all my paperwork. Yep.
And I know you and Desmond are great friends.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
You're practically neighbors. I couldn't believe how close your shops are to each other.
Yeah. He came into town 13, 14 years ago. And,
yep, 14.
At the time, I was using another transmission shop for doing transmission rebuilds and servicing. And I had several customers come back to me, tell me, do not send me there again. I was back there 3-4 times. And when Terry and Desmond came into town 13, 14 years ago, we threw them a bone, and the customer was just happy and excited. It's like, wow, this is really a great shop. They took care of me. They beat their estimate, and they didn't have to go back. And that's when our relationship first started. It was about 14 years ago, and Dez has just grown, and he's just been a great guy, and I trust all of his work. I think he's actually fixed a few of my vehicles, and one of them that I just took to Tennessee.
Yep.
I told him, it's a Lexus with 140,000 miles. He says, you're not taking that to Tennessee. I said, well, you rebuilt the transmission. You're following me, so if I got any issues, I know who to call.
I think you guys have a Tennessee connection, don't you, Desmond?
Absolutely. Desmond? Absolutely. We, John actually found ShopFix and turned me on to them, and just the change has been amazing. John had about a year on me, so I'm falling behind, but I'm catching up.
Well, ShopFix, tell the folks about ShopFix. What is it?
ShopFix is a coaching company to help us learn how to run business and to do it correctly. The thing I love about them is they're very customer-centric. Everything is about how you treat your customer, how your customer's experience is, you know, doing what's right. And, you know, they teach you the numbers and the formulas behind it. But the main thing that they teach you is just take care of your people, take care of your customers, and What do you say? I mean, it's just been amazing, the change.
My takeaway is their big slogan. Their slogan is fix the owner, fix the shop.
Yep. Okay.
And that's something that Desmond and I have come from. We were the technician. We were on the floor. We were doing all the work. And we're thinking, oh, these owners are making tons of money. That's, you know, we're not getting paid enough.
Yeah, famous. And
don't they, haven't they seen that cash wheelbarrow? You wheel out all the cash in?
Wow, yeah. And that was just something that as a technician, you really don't know how to run a business. And when we think we can run a business and we open up our own place, there's a huge learning curve. We still want to fix the car, but if you don't know your numbers, how can you stick around long enough to honor your warranty and to build a community relations and that type of thing? And so that was my biggest takeaway from this coaching company, is learning how to be an owner. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't get my hands as dirty. Definitely not as dirty as Desmond. His are nice and stained. Mine are relatively clean. I haven't gone to the manicure yet, but it is nice to take care of the customers and to be able to be profitable enough so if there is an issue and something arises, you can take care of a customer. I mean, we just had that issue just a couple of days ago where we couldn't take care of the issue, and they actually wrote us a review on Google and said they were extremely happy that we refunded their money and sent them to the dealer to take care of the repair. So sometimes we can't solve the issue, and as a shop owner, independent shop owner, we can't own all the equipment out there that the manufacturers have.
Right.
And some things are proprietary, and that was one we attempted, but we couldn't do, so we gave the customer back the money and told them we're sorry, but you got to visit the dealer on this one.
You know, I've said this before, Desmond, that often you really show your integrity the way you handle a problem way more than when you're handling everything that went right.
Right. Absolutely. And that is, that's the customer service that Desmond and I have definitely learned, is the customer is 99% of the time right.
Yep.
So it's nice whenever we are actually right every once in a while, but just the lack of customer service in all industries. And that's something we're trying to change, the automotive industry. Everybody thinks we're greasy smokers on the counter and ashtrays here and there and dirty floors and stuff. No, we're changing the industry. We are professionals and we conduct ourselves as professionals. And, you know, I think we're better than doctors. We don't have to practice.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't have to use that insurance. We actually are the professionals, and we do what we're supposed to do.
You're not allowed to practice, in fact.
No.
You have to stand behind your stuff. They just bury their mistakes.
Yeah, literally sometimes.
Hey, you mentioned Google reviews, and I know you both have great track records on Google. It's kind of a stupid question to ask, but how important are good reviews? I mean, do you think people really read them?
Yes, people
absolutely
do actually read the reviews, and I take all the reviews, good and bad. I do read all of them, and I will respond to 95% of them, you know, just thinking of the customer as to what they found and saw. And again, I was going through the reviews this morning, and I did see one from a customer. It was a brand new customer. They love the experience up front. They love the experience in how quick we got their service taken care of, and they gave us 5 stars, but they also said that when they got in their car to pick the vehicle up, they did have a hint of smoke cigarette smell in their vehicle.
Oh.
Mm. This is a learning lesson for me.
Was it regular tobacco?
I hope so, because we don't do any of that funny stuff. But I do apologize to that customer. We do have smokers there, and we are supposed to be good and clean. We do not smoke in your car.
Never.
But non-smokers can smell a smoker from a mile away.
Oh, yeah. You just get in with it on your clothes.
On our clothes. And so I do apologize for that. But that is now something now new that I'm going to make sure that we don't have that smell. If I have to use Osium or a non-fragrant air freshener to make sure that every car is clean and fresh, that's now a new policy. So I love my reviews. They teach me things, and I like to say thank you. That's how we learn and grow and become better customer service people.
Absolutely.
And you know, John, I was reading through your profile. I asked you to send me a profile, and you're talking about customers. One of the things that really caught my eye in your profile, and I think Brianna also had a hand in writing that, right?
Oh, yes. She edits all my chicken scratch.
And Brianna's John's wife, by the way, and partner.
Yep, in crime.
At any rate, one of the two of you said, we treat our employees as though they're part of the customer service chain. In other words, our employees, it's an internal customer.
Correct, yes. That's something that we finally started realizing. We like to take care of regular customers that come in off the street for repairs, but also I like to treat my employees and coworkers as equals, and treat them with respect. And so we've instilled a policy throughout the shop to let everybody know we are all customers of each other. My service writer is a customer of the technician. The technician better diagnose it correctly and come up with the correct diagnosis and list of parts that are needed. And my QC guy is also a customer of the technician and the service writers, because the car needs to be clean and prepped and ready to go for the customer. And just everybody's interconnected as being a customer of another customer. It's not, you know, blame the service writer for something or blame the technician. We don't like the blame game. We want to make sure that we treat each other with respect. And if there's an issue, let's figure it out.
Well, you know, the better you treat your employees, the better they're going to treat your customers. And a good example of that's over there at Prescott Tire Pros. You know the old adage, it seems too good to be true, and it probably is. Prescott Tire Pros and Automotive Service turns that old adage upside down. Until I met Louie and Angel, the owners of Prescott Tire Pros, I had heard their commercials on the radio, and I wondered if they were just another company that overpromises and underdelivers. Well, the time came when I needed some help with my mysterious vibration and clicking noise in my car. I had it checked out by a couple other shops, but they couldn't or wouldn't figure it out. And then someone I trusted told me to take it to Louie. Boy, was I glad my friend recommended them. They spent nearly an hour checking, testing, getting to the bottom of my problem. And when it turned out to be something they don't work on, they told me who to take it to for repairs. The amazing thing is they wouldn't take a dime for figuring it out for me. They said, just remember us next time and tell your friends about us. Little did I know back then that I'd be hosting a radio show a few years later. But here I am, and I'm telling you about Prescott Tire Pros and Automotive Service. I'm not telling you about them just because they're one of our sponsors. I've told a lot of my friends about them. I'm telling you about them because you can trust them. You know, they do a lot for the community, too. They're always helping veterans and other deserving individuals. They're simply fine, fine people, and I'm proud that they're one of the sponsors, and most of all, that they're my friends. By the way, they don't just sell tires. They're a full-service automotive center. If it's part of your vehicle, they most likely can service it, fix it, or replace it. And if it's something they don't work on, they'll tell you who you can trust to do it right. All their tires and repairs are covered nationwide with a written warranty that's second to none. The next time you need tires or anything automotive, do yourself a favor and take it to Prescott Tire Pros and Automotive Service. They're at 1635 Iron Springs Road next to Waters Garden Center. Or go to our show's website, drivetimeaz.com, and click on the Prescott Tire Pros logo. It'll take you straight to their website. That music means it's time to announce the winner of the Listener Question of the Week contest. To enter, just go to our website, drivetimeaz.com, and submit your car repair question or concern. If your entry is selected, you win. It's that simple. Congratulations to this week's winner. You get a $225 gift card package from our sponsors and one of our friends of the show, Third Shot Coffee and Acai, located in Gateway Mall next to Starting Point Church. My personal favorite is the Prescott Power Acai Bowl. It's protein packed with all kinds of natural peanut butter and a whole bunch of other nutritious stuff. It's a perfect meal replacement. They also serve specialty coffees, breakfast, bakery goods. Let them know that you heard about them on the Drive Time Radio Show. So this week's question, you guys are going to hate, but I think it's great that we have three technicians between Ken, Des, and John here today, because it's one of those things you all probably have nightmares about. It's called an intermittent problem.
Those are so much fun.
Well, here's how intermittent this one is. The listener says, I have a 2015 Jeep Grand Cherokee that runs like a champ. It has a push button start, but every now and then when I go to start it, I have to push the button more than once, maybe as many as four times before it turns over. It acts like a dead battery when it's doing that, but when it finally responds, it fires off perfectly. You guys have any suggestions?
So I want to jump in on this first. I have a push button start on my truck, and when my truck doesn't start and it just hit me like a ton of bricks, usually I don't have my foot on the brake far enough. And you have to push hold the brake pedal down while you're hitting the button for it to fire off. And they are, you know, you get into a routine, you jump in, you just step your foot on the brake and go. But when mine doesn't click off, it's usually I okay, push down harder, get push it down a little bit farther, and then it fires off.
I have a question, too, related to that. So let's suppose that she isn't pushing hard enough on it, and she pushes the button so it doesn't fire. Does she have to do anything over again, or could she just press harder and push the button again?
Just press harder and push
the button
again.
She shouldn't have to start a routine over or anything.
No. Nope. Just push the button.
Ken, do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, first of all, I think Des is dead on there. It's a very, very high probability that something like that is happening. And, you know, depending on – every vehicle has a different adjustment on the brake light switch. Some of them you just touch it. And some of them you have to actually push down pretty hard to activate the brake light. So that's a good start.
So the brake light has to activate in order to...
Yeah, it has to see that the brakes were applied, because they used to have all these runaways where people would drive through the back of the garage when they started up.
Okay.
And that was in response to that with the Audi fiasco in 1985. But then the other thing is, and I did a little background checking, and I guess... the woman that owns it has had a severe arm injury, and the arm that she injured was the one that she's pushing the button with, and I think she has to cross over and use the other arm. So that it may be that because of the angle and the way she's pushing it, that she's not hitting the button square enough and hard enough. So that could be a possibility. Other thing is that the buttons do wear out. I did some checking. And a lot of people have had to replace those buttons, and it's only about $15 for the part. You know, there's some labor involved, but not too bad. So it could be a bunch of things all the way through everything: battery connections, starter connections, cables, solenoid, everything, relays. That's kind of where I would start.
So my first thought, John, was the battery and the remote key fob itself. But since it works sometimes, it's probably not that, right?
It's we're speculating, and we're kind of guessing at this point. But
well, we have no choice. The car is not here.
Yeah.
And apparently, even if it was here, it might work perfectly for us.
Yeah, there's a lot of different possibilities of what it could be. And with today's vehicles and all the computers that they have in them, you know, like Des has said in the past, 15 to 21 computers. There's a computer in each door just to run your window and your door locks.
Yep.
They have the computers tied into the brake system, into a starter relay, into... all sorts of things in your alarm and your key fob. So there's a lot of different areas. The hardest thing is, like you started this off with, is it's an intermittent. And so we need to catch it in the act. So wherever you go and you decide to take it to, be patient with them. Try to give them all the tips and clues that you possibly could have, because we're trying to duplicate your no start issue. And is it during the rainstorm? Is it on a cold day? Is it on a hot day, middle of the day, after you've driven it for a while? So we're going to ask a lot of questions, because as you know, you don't know rhyme or reason as to when it's going to leave you stranded at the grocery store. So if you can give us all the extra tips, that just gives us more areas to dive into and pay attention to and look closer at, because we're going to need it for some time to try to duplicate it. It sounds like it's not something that's a very regular issue and doesn't happen to you daily. So and wherever you take it, we're going to need some time.
And if you can't get it to do it, you can't really diagnose it, right?
That's the toughest thing when it comes to an intermittent.
And, so, John, this is really going to be a tough question for you to answer. But let's suppose that you get in it, first shot out of the cannon, you push the button, and it doesn't start, just like she says. But chances are it's going to happen the next time. How on earth do you just diagnose that then?
We have scanners and computers that can actually tie into the vehicle system. And so that's what we're going to do, is we're going to plug that in first, and we can record live data. So all throughout the day, if it's not starting, it's always recording all the data. Somebody pushed the brake, somebody pushed the starter button, somebody opened the door. That way it helps record that, so when it does act up, okay, now we can review the data. Did the computer see the key fob? Did the computer see that the brake pedal was applied? Did it send the signal to the relay? Did it go from the relay to the starter? So recording data all day long while it's there is something that's very helpful. But again, we've had cars there that have been there for 2 or 3 weeks. I hate saying 2 or 3 weeks, but we've got a couple of customers out in our loaner cars that their car doesn't act up except for once or twice a month. And they don't want to be left with it. So we give them a free loaner car, and we have it in our parking lot for 3 or 4 weeks, and we're out there playing, trying to catch it in the act. So Some of these intermittents can really be ugly.
Back in the day, John, we're just kind of getting to know one another here. I owned a chain of transmission shops, and one of the things we would do, our intermittents weren't as tough as your guys because we didn't have computers as such a major part of the car then. I mean, they were just coming on. But one of the things we would do is we'd get permission from that customer to use the car as a daily driver. Our diagnostician could drive it home and back, or I would personally drive it home and back every day until it did it. And in those cases, I gave them my car as a show of faith. Here, drive my car, which was usually a nicer car than theirs, so it was a nice trade for them. But at any rate, do you ever do anything like that, any of you guys?
I used to.
Yes, that's what I had mentioned. Yeah, absolutely. We have loaner cars.
Well, loaner cars, but I meant get permission to use it as a daily driver while it's there rather than just parking it and going out and checking it five, six times a day.
I have one in my shop right now that will only act up after 45 minutes or so of driving in the middle of the day. And I told him, I said, hey, I'm going to take this home. I'm 30 miles away each way, and I'm going to take this home for a few days. I'm going to experience what's going on. And most of the time they're fine. If they're serious about getting this problem fixed, whatever you need to do, do it. And I'm thankful for that. The other thing, John is absolutely correct, all the communication. Tell us everything. You don't know when that little tidbit is going to trigger something, and that's going to be the difference of finding the problem or not finding the problem.
So we have another question here. I think I'm going to save it for next week, but you guys can think about it until next week. It was related, but I don't want to eat up too much of the time getting to know you, John, but I'll give you a heads up. I think next week's question we're going to deal with is a listener wanted to know, if we're all concerned about our home computers getting hacked or getting a virus, can that happen on your car computer? Should we have those same concerns? So rather than diving into that, let's just keep that as a heads up for next week.
Yeah, that's a whole show.
Well, it does run with that one.
It'll be a fun topic. I think next week, I think Louie's on. So we'll have another tech here, another tech perspective.
Awesome.
And so, John, let's get back to AutoWorks.
Okay, sure.
How about
I love talking about me.
How about enough about you? Let's talk about me. Anyhow, tell us a little bit about the history. You said you bought it from the original owner, but let's go back to that original owner and how the progress of the shop has gone.
Is it too long?
We don't have enough time.
No, I can edit it pretty quick. No, AutoWorks was established in 1996. From a mom and pop, and it was a two-bay store at the time. And I used to take vehicles. I worked for a company that had me take vehicles over there for service and oil changes and such. And I got to build a relationship with them for about a year, year and a half, the owners that were actually there on site doing the work. And they were great people, and they wanted to retire, and they knew my background, and I would kind of help them out with some of their diagnostic stuff every once in a while. And they made me an offer and said, why don't you buy this place and take over? And I thought it would be fun, but I got to get my wife's permission for that one. So I introduced my wife to them. We sat down at a table, went over some numbers and such, and it sounded like a good fit. And I really loved working on cars, and where I was working at the time, they didn't want the liability of me or an individual working on their vehicle in case something went wrong. It could be a big, huge lawsuit for that company. So they always subletted their repairs out to other places. And so I didn't get to work. My toolbox was actually getting rusty in my garage and cobwebs and such. And I wanted to go back to work. That's my passion for cars. And so we made the deal, and I purchased it in 2007. And from there, their hours used to be 9 to 4, Monday through Friday.
Oh, my.
Which are awesome banker hours.
Yeah, they are.
But as a technician and as a customer, I need to drop my car off on my way to work. So somebody's got to be there at 7:30 or so. So I made the hours normal 8 to 5. Of course, I live there from 7 a.m. till sometimes midnight. The police officers would come by and wondering.
That.
Yeah, no, not in the beginning. Heck no. And so it was nice. That's how I basically lived there, worked there 12, 16 hours a day to build up the customer relations, and just wanted to be a fair, honest shop here in town. And after a couple of years, my wife was wondering why we're not making the money that we were told we would. And I had six cases of Pepsi stacked behind my desk and a bunch of other stuff because that was my problem as being a technician turned owner. Oh, I know it's an easy job. Just bring me back a case of Pepsi. You know, and I didn't charge for things. So that was the start of my downfall in the early years.
Yep.
That was just at that time, it was a three-bay shop. And I started growing the business and got more and more customers. Actually had to hire a couple more people. And we just outgrew that little three-bay location with only seven parking stalls.
Oh, wow.
My employees and customers, we used to have to park across Florentine Avenue in the dirt just to let people pull into our shop. So from there, we moved to 2nd Street into a bigger warehouse, and we installed five lifts in there and an alignment rack. And that's how we started growing and getting a little bit larger and bigger. And we were in that building location for, I think, 7 or 8 years before, and there was a church that used the other half of the warehouse. Well, the church was growing too, and so we kind of had to come to a mutual understanding. They want to grow, and so do I. I need to move because I can't buy them out. And so I had a friend that did a build-to-suit for me, and we built our latest location over here on Eastridge. We built that as a six-bay shop, and I started growing more and more. And Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, about 8 or 9 employees that I had at that time. And we, again, 6 years later, we starting to outgrow that. But since I built this one and own it and have to make payments on it, we decided to add 6 more bays to that location. So we're up to 11 bays now. I had to shut down one of the bays and turn it into an area for my service writers because I have 3 service writers and the
customers. So you turned one bay into an office, more or less.
Yeah, I had to turn one bay into an office so the customers could actually have a little bit of a waiting area because we had grown so much to where I had 3 service writers in a 20 by 20 room with customers coming in, sitting and waiting. It was too noisy answering phones and such. So that's what we've done so far is grown into 11 bays. I have 18 employees. We just purchased 3 more acres just down the street because we plan on growing again. Hopefully this time next year, I'll break ground on another 13-bay shop where I want to get into another aspect of automotive repair. I don't want to go out there bragging and blowing about just yet. But
a transmission shop, right?
No. I've heard his headaches. That is what I do not want. Definitely not.
But, so it'll be an additional location, though. It's not going to be...
Correct.
Instead of where you are now.
Correct, yep.
Okay, and where are you? How do folks find you?
I'm that ugly, bright yellow building on the southeast corner of Navajo and Eastridge.
I wouldn't call it ugly, but noticeable.
I tell everybody when I'm sending my customers to you, I tell everybody, hey, they're that bright yellow building right by the Tractor Supply, and everybody knows where you're at.
Yeah, everybody. I painted it that color just because it is something bright and visible.
That's been your AutoWorks colors for the longest time.
Ever since I've had it, yep. Yellow, black, and red.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, Florentine Road, or excuse me, Eastridge, 8572 Eastridge, Prescott Valley. Like Desmond said, just down the street from Tractor Supply. You can see our website, www.autoworkserviceandrepair.com. And since we were forgetting phone numbers in the beginning of the show, 928-775-3332.
Yeah, I tend not to do the phone numbers. I did it for Angela, but I tend not to do them because I don't think people remember them. That's why I wasn't afraid to give my cell phone.
Good idea.
Yeah. Okay. At any rate, they do remember websites. Anyhow, one of our other sponsors is Five Star Cars, and I think they send cars over to you to check out from time to time, right?
Yep. We've seen several of their vehicles, and they're just right across the highway, kind of. I mean, Prescott Valley is small, and we are in a community, and we take care of everybody.
I've been around the car business for over 40 years, and I've bought and sold a lot of cars. As the guy in the insurance ad says, I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. And I know this about Five Star Cars. They're truly a premier used car dealership. Before I asked them to be one of our sponsors, I visited the dealership to see how they treated people. I was favorably impressed. The owner, Bruce Wallace, says they're a stress-free dealership, and he means it. Five Star Cars specializes in quality pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. They keep their inventory fresh with new vehicles, constantly adding new inventory. But they won't just put any car on the lot. Every vehicle they sell goes through a comprehensive inspection process to make sure the vehicle meets their strict standards. Then they service, repair, test drive, and detail each vehicle, and they add a 30-day, 1,000-mile warranty. just to prove they're providing the best pre-owned vehicles available. Plus, they won't sell a car unless they can confirm its history. In fact, they post the Carfax report on the window of every car on the lot. Trade-ins are always welcome. They'll also buy your used vehicle for cash. Let me tell you, selling your car to them makes it a lot easier than taking the risk of trying to do it yourself with all those weirdos out there trying to scam private party sellers. Five-star cars owner Bruce Wallace says, "I've been around this town a long time, and we do business like we're going to be here for a long time to come. I can't recall ever seeing a used car dealership with an A-plus accredited Better Business Bureau rating. And the customer reviews on their website validate that the BBB A-plus rating is deserved. So whether you're shopping, selling, or just want to talk cars, make sure you give Five Star Cars a call or do what I did. Drop by for a visit. Five Star Cars is in Prescott Valley at 8057 East Yavapai Road. Contact Five Star Cars by going to our show's website, drivetimeaz.com. Click on the Five Star Cars logo, and it'll take you straight to their website. If you're old enough to remember the TV show You Bet Your Life, tell them Groucho sent you. If not, tell them Drive Time sent you.
You know, John, I got to tell you, watching you grow, I didn't know you back on Florentine, but I did know you in that warehouse on 2nd Street. That's, we were right down the street from each other. Watching you grow has been impressive. Watching the mindset shifts that we've went through, the growth, it's been amazing. And I don't know about you, but you, I've had an awesome ride. How have you been doing?
Oh, yeah, it's been a fun journey. And like you said, when you first met me down there on 2nd Street in the warehouse, I was jealous because you guys were growing. And you guys had just come into town, and here I am. I've already got a five-year head start on you, and your transmission shop is growing. And so that's what I paid attention to, is what you guys were doing, and your customer service was one of the things, even way back then, that you guys were ahead of. And I took that lead from you, and I was like, okay, I need to follow what they're doing and see what they're doing. So,
well, dude, I mean, the coaching, you don't know what you don't know. And that coaching, I am so thankful that you showed me the way, because I was just like you. When Terry retired and I bought Terry out, I'd been a technician my whole life. I didn't know how to do the books. I didn't know when taxes were due. I didn't know how to do pay. I knew nothing. I didn't know how to come up with the price. I didn't know how much a job costed. I knew nothing. And I was just like, okay, now what? And you were like, hey, shop picks. And I was, that has just changed my life. Changed. And, you know, we already had the fundamentals with the customer service. It's just taken it to a new level. I just wanted to say I'm really happy for you, and I'm glad you joined the show. I'm excited. I just can't wait for the future.
John, I think we're all excited to have you.
Good. Thanks for having me.
I have another exciting thing here. Ken hasn't had much to say today, but he's got a lot to say in the next segment here. Ken had some friends that have been overlanding for how long, Ken?
About a decade.
About a decade overlanding. They're from South Africa. And for those of you who didn't hear our show on overlanding, we had a lady on that owns Overland Digest. Is that what it's called?
Overland Journal.
Overland Journal. It's a 5-issue-a-year journal, a beautiful magazine. She was on and introduced us all to what overlanding is. Ken, tell us about your friend, and then I think we pre-recorded that interview.
Yeah. The more of these people you meet, the more you find how we're all interconnected. I've been down to South Africa about 4 times. I've done some expeditions down there, motorcycle rides and 4x4 rides down there. And all virtually all my friends down there knew these people, the Bells. It's Graham and Louisa Bell. And they've been overlanding. They've had a number of different Land Rovers. And I was connected with that because of Camel Trophy. We used Land Rovers on that. And everybody knows everybody. It's interconnected. They've gone already at least 250,000 kilometers through 67 countries on 5 continents. So let's begin with the interview.
Great.
Well, thanks, Tom, for letting me have my friends on the show. I think you'll really enjoy, and everyone will enjoy their story. This is Graham and Louisa Bell, and they're visiting from South Africa. They were my house guests about roughly a year ago, and we got to know them a little bit, including their family, their 2 children. And now they're kind of empty nesters. Their children have gotten old enough. They've kind of gone off on their own. And they're back in here visiting again. And what better day to have them on than they're just happen to be visiting Arizona right now. So go ahead, Graham and Louisa.
Hey, Ken. Hi. Thank you very much for having us. Yeah, I think where would you like me to start? At the very beginning?
Right after you were born. No, just kidding. I think most of our listeners would really enjoy hearing about basically how what came to pass to cause you to start exploring the world by vehicle, and then basically when you did it, and where you came from, where you started, where you've traveled to, and how you traveled on the road with two children growing up and needing schooling and so forth. So let's start with that.
Okay. So Louisa and I were both born in South Africa and grew up there. And as an adult, I always tried to have an old Land Rover in the driveway. And old Land Rovers are a bit of an addiction, but they're also quite liberating. And, you know, you go camping with them and you go exploring, and that, as you, the more you enjoy it and the more you do it, the more you start dreaming about doing it further and more often. And we found ourselves in 2009, we had a great business, but we were a little bit burnt out, and we thought, you know what, let's have an adventure, let's drive up to Kenya. And we had three Land Rovers at the time, but none of them were quite up to the job, so we bought a Defender 130 and kitted it out, and then drove up over 6 months up to the Kenyan border, up to Kilimanjaro, and then back down to South Africa. Excuse me. And then it only took us a few months after we returned, eh, Louisa, to kind of realize that that's what we really wanted to be doing with our time.
Yeah, and it's, we decided to do it on a permanent basis. So it took a year and a half, and we packed up everything and sold the business and took the kids out of school and tried to release ourselves from the usual society requirements or the norms of society and packed the landy, and that was it.
Yeah, so then we shipped the Land Rover to Uruguay in 2012. The kids were then 7 and 12.
Yes.
Yeah, 7 years old and 12 years old. It would be Jessica, would be 7, and Keelan, our son, was 12. And then we drove to the top of, instead of going down to Ushuaia, to Tierra del Fuego, we decided to go visit Brazil for a little bit and landed up touring the whole country. Then going all the way down to Ushuaia, then driving up the Pan Am to Colombia, then turning right, going to Venezuela, and essentially circumnavigating South America before driving all the way down to Argentina and then up to Alaska. And we arrived in the U.S. in 2015.
That's right. And it was quite a culture shock, but we absolutely love the U.S. It's so vast, and there's amazing places to go into, and it would take us years to try and just cover, you know, percentage of it.
And actually coming to the U.S. was a game changer for us, because it is the generosity and the friendship of the American people, which eventually helped us stay on the road and keep going all this time.
What were some of the things that the American people helped you out on?
Well, after coming down from Alaska, we were our funds were pretty low. And we retreated to Baja to lick our wounds. No, I'm joking. It was great fun. But we had to try and figure out a way to make this dream a reality. And Louisa came up with the idea of writing a book. It was called Travel the Planet Overland. And that was we did a Kickstarter.
Correct. It was basically a guide on how to do what we do with a vast array of subjects, from mechanical work to off-road driving to teaching your kids to online resources.
And saving money.
Yeah.
First aid and just basically everything that we had learned from those years on the road. And we were quite successful with that Kickstarter campaign. And I think about 80% of our backers were American. And then, yeah, the generosity that was shown to us as we traveled across the U.S. was just fantastic. People just took care of us and really helped us out, and doors were open to us. And it's something that we haven't really experienced anywhere else in the world.
And very, very inquisitive.
Yeah.
You know, and we just love the generosity, but it's more just the
culture.
The culture, yeah.
A lot about America that we love. So we were able then to convert the Land Rover. She was before a double cab pickup with a large roof tent. But after 4 years full-time in the tent with the two kids, we knew that if we wanted to carry on traveling, we needed to have a little bit more comfort and safety and security. So we used some of the proceeds from the Kickstarter campaign and then built a camper box on the back of the vehicle. Pretty much transformed her and then shipped her to Europe, drove across to Turkey and Asia Minor, and then went back through Europe and down through West Africa in 2019. And we did a loop of Southern Africa before getting caught by COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But then once lockdown, South Africa, very strict lockdown. But once they opened up, we managed to tour back into East Africa and then around again. And then we've actually left the Land Rover in South Africa and then flew to the States and then borrowed a vehicle from Nimble. We're sponsored by General Tire, so they put some tires on for us. Wagon Tech is another one of our sponsors. They gave us inverters and electrical stuff. And after borrowing a Range Rover and crossing the U.S., we then got a Nimble camper, kitted her out, and then went all the way down to Guatemala and Belize, and then up to the Arctic Ocean in March.
Where it was the coldest I've ever been, and I think the coldest I'll ever be, it was minus 60. So it was quite an experience for us South Africans, who I think we would have generally just experienced like minus 5 at the max.
I remember that well, and I remember I gave you a little briefing about what to expect.
Yeah, your advice was invaluable, Ken. It was fantastic. There's a couple of guys I relied on, and you were like one of my major cold weather mentors. And it was based on that kind of advice that I was able to prepare the Nimble and ourselves. And we actually had except for our convoy partner flipping and somersaulting his van in the snow and then having to join us in the Nimble for the Arctic section of the trip. Except for that, it was a comfortable and exciting journey, but without too much drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we returned the Nimble to its rightful owner and have recently shipped our Land Rover back from South Africa. It came into Vancouver, BC, and then decided to punish us for leaving her in Africa. So we've just been driving and fixing and driving and fixing and
nursing her all the way
down to Mexico.
I know, I've been following your trials and tribulations, and it was amazing. I think you had, what, 3 different types of breakdowns in 24 hours or something?
No, yes. Nothing like that. It's the Land Rover.
Suspension issues. We got stuck in Vegas. It was one of my favorite breakdowns of all time because we had just had an In-N-Out burger. And we were sitting in the parking lot, and I turned the key, and the immobilizer light just kept flashing at me. But we had unlimited refills, which kind of kept us going. And it took us 5 hours, but eventually we have this diagnostic tool. It's called a Nanocom. It's kind of like a scan gauge, but you can read and write settings and stuff like that. And we basically had a crash course on how this thing works. And then eventually Louisa actually, using this tool, managed to disable all the security settings in the ECU, and that got us on the road again. So, yeah, we live and learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, electronics can be wonderful, but it can also be a curse.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, this could have led us down in the middle of Namibia or in the Congo or in a much worse situation. The fact that it decided to finally throw its toys in Vegas was actually, a good thing.
Yeah.
Good timing.
Yeah. So do you have any tips and advice for people to bring their children on with them on the road overlanding?
Sure. I mean, I think that kids are a lot more, they have adapted better than adults do. They really can, they can conform in any situations where we're very rigid. We have our rules. So don't worry about your kids fitting in or enjoying it. They will do, especially if they're school going age. And what we learned was not to try and bombard them with the everyday schooling of all the subjects all the time, but rather letting them experience and learn as they travel, and perhaps just do maths and English because those are the two main core subjects that they should be learning. But everything else they'll learn along the way, and they'll be better off with not sitting having their books, their faces in books
or in their phones.
So
that's in terms of long term overlanding with children. But I think just overlanding in general, I think it's always good to keep in mind, that you want to, if you're traveling with children, depending on their age, but generally you want to stop quite often.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have audiobooks, podcasts that they'll enjoy,
games,
activities. I think the greatest thing about overlanding with a family or with children is that what your children really want for Christmas is you.
Yeah.
And you get to spend so much time with your children when you're traveling with them, and it can be fantastic quality time. And it's a great opportunity to connect and just really enjoy time together.
I think that's some great advice, and I think that applies to families and children everywhere in the world. I think it's worthwhile to include that, and I think that they're going to have lifetime memories that are just that most people just don't have, and I think that's great. You've given them a big gift. Is there any problem with credits though, like if they want to go to college and they say, well, what schools have you gone to? What have your test scores been? How do they deal with that?
We haven't encountered that problem as yet. It's, well, firstly, my son is quite happy doing what he's doing. He's into IT in a very, very big way. He's a complete nerd.
Yeah.
Which I'm very proud of.
And he's good at.
And everything he can do, he doesn't need to go to college to learn.
Good.
He's much better off getting straight into his career and learning as he goes, mm-hmm. and then doing courses, et cetera, along the way. But he did his GED. The American education system, he got his American high school diploma. He did very well. Jessica did very well as well. And I don't think there's any limitations for them in terms of their education that they received on the road. If anything, they already have a CV going into life that people, if they read that, they go, "What, you've already done all of that and you're only this young?" You know, it's going to make them stand out amongst all the thousands of other applications, if you know what I mean.
I do. You know, one of my dreams was when I graduated high school, I wanted to travel around the world hitchhiking by myself. Yeah. But I wasn't able to swing it, but I have managed to visit 88 countries along the way, and I've learned so much more from those life experiences than I did in school. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when a kid comes out of school, they don't really know what they want to be doing, right? So let give them that gap year and let them go and experience it, because they've just been through 12 years of schooling and then having to go into college or university. Yeah, I'm not too sure. Jessica's still on the threshold. She'll figure it out. So, yeah, we haven't had issues.
Yeah.
The good thing is, like, Keelan's already, sorry, just keep back on the overlanding trail. Keelan's already planned his own vehicle. And if you've met him, Ken, you'll know he's 6'4" and 300 pounds. And he's, sorry about that. And he plans on getting one of these little Japanese vans. So so Keelan, he's, 6'4" and 300 pounds.
Yeah, I remember.
He's going to get one of these teeny tiny little Japanese vans and turn that into his overlanding machine. So, he's still got the bug.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. Could you take a moment and tell people how they can get your book and your and maybe find some of your articles and your social media and so forth?
Yes, of course. Our website is a2aexpedition.com. That's a2aexpedition.com. And all of our books are available there. We've written 5 books in total. And we have 2 editions of Travel the Planet Overland. That's the How to Do What We Do. Those books are also available on Amazon. But unfortunately, old Jeff, he takes all the profit if the books are sold through Amazon. But it's more convenient for buyers. My social media, we're A2A Expedition on Facebook and graham.r.bell on Instagram, and that's graeme.r.bell.
Great. That's, I highly recommend your books to our listeners. You guys are very down to earth and informative in your writings. So I highly recommend it. In closing, do you have any anything you want to say, or any exciting anything that you've done, or some crazy thing, or something from the story from the road?
I've got millions of them. Okay, how about the time that Louisa fixed the Land Rover on the side of the road in the Congo when we had Jessica had malaria and there was a Japanese hitchhiker in the back?
Is that all?
Yeah.
And they weren't shooting at you?
Well, actually, we were crossing through villages and we actually got mobbed about 2 or 3 times that day while the vehicle was breaking down. But we just kept smiling and waving and just kept on driving. There's no way we were going to stop. But we got to the, found this little place to pull over, and it was the crank position sensor that was broken. And Louisa got out, and well, my son made a fire and cooked us a steak. And we took care of Jessica, and then we got out and we fixed the Land Rover and then had a cold beer sitting on our jerry cans. And the next day drove to, if I remember what was after the Congo, I think it was Angola. Anyway, yeah, that's a pretty interesting story. And that'll be in the book, which is called Mud, Malaria,
Guns and Miracles.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Well, I think we're kind of going to wrap it up here. I wish you folks a lot of good luck and great adventures going forward, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Ken. It's always a pleasure to speak to you.
Thanks, Ken. Really appreciate it.
Thank you both. Thank you, Luis. Thank you, Graham. Take care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Ciao.
All right, it's time for the Car Show Lowdown. Take it away, Ken.
Thank you, Tom. The weekly bike and ATV night at Founding Fathers will be Wednesday, 5 to 8 p.m. at 218 North Granite Street, Prescott. September 3rd, this weekend, is 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Chino Valley Territorial Days with a big car show at 1527 North Road 1 East. The Mother Road Motorcycle Show is coming up in Kingman. It's a big event, October 13th, 4 to 7 p.m. And the next day, there'll be the Route 66 Classics Car Show, Saturday the 14th, 10 to 7. There's another cool event coming up. It's the Arizona CVAA Rallycross. That's going to be October 21st and 22nd at 1495 Camp Verde Lane.
So that music, of course, means it's time to announce the winner of the Drive Time Song of the Week contest. To enter, just go to our website. That's drivetimeaz.com and submit your favorite car or motorcycle song, along with a funny, sentimental story about why it's your favorite. By the way, don't forget that you can listen to our podcast replays of the show on our website, too. Congratulations to this week's winner of a $225 gift card package from our sponsors and one of the friends of the show. That's the Tropical Smoothie Cafe, located on Florentine Road in front of Dignity Health in Prescott Valley. I happen to love their peanut butter cup smoothie with peanut butter, banana, and chocolate, and I like to add a shot of coffee for a little extra pop. They also serve sandwiches, flatbreads, and wraps. Give them a try and tell them you heard about them on Drive Time. And I want to congratulate Sherry for her mission. Sherry writes this: I really enjoyed Angela Smith's segment last week about how to save money on car insurance. She had some great tips. Sherry, that has nothing to do with your song. I'm sorry to tell you, but you did pick a great song. I'd like to hear Chevrolet by ZZ Top from back in 1972.
There was all my work, but trying to flag me in.
Be sure to tune in again next week, and we'll be back with more special guests. We'll talk about anything automotive. Be sure to tell your friends about the show and our new time on Saturdays and Sundays at 10 a.m. And don't forget to visit our show website, drivetimeaz.com, to enter our contests, contact with our sponsors, and to listen to podcasts of previous shows. Until next time, have a great week. It's going to be a great week to have.
It's Drive Time.